Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Lots to get to today. A new scholarship offer goes out yesterday from IU basketball to a top 2022 in-state player. And last night, I guess you could say last afternoon, the NCAA, after all the talk yesterday and this week about a fall recruiting period, it could still happen, but they tabled it essentially until their next meeting. So nothing was approved officially on the recommendations that were put forth with the Coaches Association working with the NCAA Division I Oversight Committee. So still a chance, still a possibility, I would think a reasonable possibility that there is an approved fall period. But again, it's not set in stone right now, not officially approved, and so we'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. Also, a reminder, if you ever cannot be with us live at 11 o'clock here on the Big X, make sure you locate the Hoosier Report as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well for you to listen to basically on demand. Let's get into the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, as always, we have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll talk more about the recruiting stuff. We'll tell you about the new offer that went out yesterday. We'll talk IU baseball headline as well, and a few other things coming up in the first segment for our headlines. Then later in the show, on Thursdays, we always have the opportunity to talk with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He'll join us in segment two today for an extended chat on IU basketball and where things stand also from a recruiting perspective. So lots of stuff to catch up on, even here in the off season, and Alex can help us keep up with that. He also, Inside the Hall, also had a great story on Romeo Langford, catching up on what he's been and looking back at his Indiana career. And so we'll talk about that with Alex as well. Maybe get into some baseball. Yesterday, Major League Baseball, 1 hour was sources saying it was coming back, that there had been an agreement, there was going to be an announcement. Maybe an hour, 2 hours later, those reports are false, apparently. And now we're back at the table with another offer being sent to the Players Association from the league. So we'll see. It seems like on one hand, things are getting closer. On the other, another denied opportunity to make this thing work. And Alex is a big baseball guy, so we'll check up on that with him as well when he joins us in the next segment. Also, later in the program today, Robbie Valentine is going to join us. Robbie is obviously a Southern Indiana resident, works over at the Yum Center, helping run the operations there, and getting ready for a basketball camp coming up in July. He's partnering with Wiley Brown to have a camp in Jeffersonville. We had Coach Brown on last Thursday to catch up and talk about the camp, and we'll have Robbie on today to talk some basketball, what he's up to at the Yum Center, how the shutdown has affected things there, obviously, and, of course, what the basketball camp looks like. Because, again, this summer, you're not seeing the normal routine as far as camps and opportunities in the summer for kids and players to participate in. This is one of the few that's actually going on, especially here on the Southern Indiana side of the river. So Robbie Valentine with us later in the program today. And that is the show lineup for this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget to check out Honey Baked Ham in New Albany for their dinner package deals that are being offered. They are doing dine-in service, of course, pickup and curbside also available as well. And don't forget to check out the half-off
bone-in hams, all bone-in hams, half off at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's a limited-time special. It's still going on as of today. Check that out at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And we start with recruiting, which is kind of common right now. Not a lot of live sports, not a lot of updates every day, but recruiting is continuing. Scholarship offers going out, visits to campuses right now are being made through virtual platforms like your iPhone, FaceTime, Zoom, things like that, meeting with coaching staffs, etc. So that stuff is continuing. And yesterday we found out in the afternoon that Indiana had a virtual visit with Deontay Davis of Warren Central. He's better known as Ty Davis, T-A-E, is his, I guess, nickname or how he's better recognized as. And he picked up an offer he's from the 2022 class, picked up an offer yesterday from Archie Miller. He's ranked number 74 nationally in the 2022 class by 247 Sports. Keep in mind a couple things about Davis that you'll need to know, because obviously he's in-state, he's right in Indianapolis, he's projected nationally to be a good prospect. This is going to be a name you're going to hear Indiana very involved with between now and whenever he makes his decision. But a couple things to know about Davis. His father, and Deontay, was from Lawrence Central. He's always went to Lawrence Central. His father was an assistant coach there. His father's been involved in summer basketball as well. But he recently moved to Warren Central because his father applied for and was named the Warren Central coach within the last week and a half or so. So he moves to Warren Central. That will be a new school for him next season. The other thing you need to know is that his brother, Dre Davis, who is a member of the current graduating class, 2020, he's committed and will attend Louisville to play basketball. So obviously you wonder if Louisville has an in there, especially if things go well for Dre at Louisville in his freshman and sophomore seasons as Deontay is being recruited. Other scholarship offers that he has, he's got a pretty good list. You can add Indiana to a list that includes Louisville, Purdue, Butler, Xavier, and Nebraska. Those would be his scholarship offers as well. He also has listed other schools like Providence and Ohio State, Cincinnati, UCLA, and even Iowa as schools that have reached out and are interested in his services. So add Deontay to the list. He had a good high school season. He was a player that I think after the spring maybe you could have expected to see IU offer. Obviously, we didn't have the spring evaluation periods, so maybe the offer's coming a little later. Maybe the offer, if we had been playing right now, would have came after some of the June and July evaluation opportunities for IU coaches. But he gets the offer yesterday, and you could add him to the recruiting board. And again, this is a small forward-type player that's going to be highly recruited and is going to be, again, nationally ranked on that circuit already in the top 100, already really in the top 75 in the 2022 class. Also, from a recruiting perspective, yesterday I mentioned the NCAA Division I Council. They did not accept, they did not vote on a plan for a fall recruiting period. That has been tabled temporarily to their next meeting, and I believe they said within the next couple of weeks they would hold a teleconference to vote on recruiting calendar. So that's not dead, but it's just interesting to me. You see these recommendations put together by the NABC, the Coaches Association, and then also the Division I Oversight Committee. And a lot of times this stuff, when it gets to that level, it's a recommendation that maybe there's a couple questions asked, but you expect most of it, if not all of it, to be passed. And this is another example where the Division I Council did not take, at least they did not pass immediately, the recommendation that they received from the Oversight Committee with input from the Coaches Association. So I got to believe that they're going to do whatever they can to help some of these student-athletes that need a boost with their recruiting, that need an opportunity to get seen. Again, if and when this thing gets approved, there's going to be a lot of questions on our states feeling comfortable enough with the virus and the numbers and any outbreaks or good numbers maybe that they go ahead and schedule opportunities, and whether it be an AAU tournament or a camp or, again, a scholastic event, which would be high school associated. Also, it's going to take a little working from a lot of the state associations. Many have rules once school gets back in, that you really can't play scrimmage games. And there's some, especially in Kentucky, they really limit what players even individually can do. So some of this will take some assistance from in Indiana, the IHSA, and Kentucky, the Kentucky High School Athletic Association, to make those scholastic periods. In other states, they wide open. Heck, they're playing with their high school team in scrimmages all the way up to the start of the season. So we'll see what happens with a fall recruiting period, but you would think that there's going to be some sort of approval of this from the NCAA. Even if certain states don't do it or don't act on it or don't feel like with the virus it's safe to do, at least they've put the opportunity, the possibility out there. And so we'll see in the next couple weeks, and I think really you got to get it out there in the next couple weeks if it's going to happen, for the events to come together, for the state associations to make plans on if they're going to give any waivers to rules and things like that. There are other things involved in this, not just, okay, snap the fingers and we can get all these events up and running in the fall. So that will be interesting. Also yesterday, the Division I Council did approve a plan for summer athletics activities for men's and women's basketball. And basically, this gets wordy and it gets confusing. Right now, Indiana men's basketball players will be allowed to begin voluntary workouts on campus Thursday, June 18th, which is today. So they've went through screening. They've went through COVID test. They've went through some understanding on sanitizing and what they've got to do to stay healthy and keep others healthy. And now they will be able to begin activities. We understand it's primarily with strength and conditioning personnel. It won't be a lot of basketball specific. You know, you won't be working out on the basketball court as far as with a ball, working on your game, shooting. It's going to be more strength and conditioning type stuff. Now, yesterday, the Division I Council put the same model in for both men's and women's basketball that basically extends the current rule, which says that voluntary athletics activities up to 8 hours and up to 8 hours of virtual non-physical activities through July 19th can continue. And then beginning July 20th, required summer athletics activities may begin, so you go from voluntary to required, and can last up to 8 weeks or until the school's first day of classes or September 15th, whichever is earlier. There are a couple other pieces to that. We'll talk with Alex about it in the next segment, but kind of confusing. There are so many different rules and policies and voluntary workouts here, required workouts later in the summer. Your basketball coaches can't be here, but your strength and conditioning people can. A lot of regulations to keep up with right now. But what we do know in Bloomington today, players are going to be able to work with strength and conditioning coaches starting today in voluntary workouts to at least help get back in shape and ready for the upcoming college basketball season. And, of course, football and women's basketball following a very similar model as well. I believe if you look at the plan, the two or three phases of IU football, I think two of the three are now back on campus and have went through the testing and things like that. And, of course, so far, and I heard this yesterday, Indiana, Louisville, or Kentucky, as of today, none of them have announced that there have been any positive COVID cases. They may not announce it, even if there are, but there have been no announcements from the three big schools locally like there have been at other schools across the country. This is another headline today. This is very interesting. Nojel Eastern kind of surprised everybody when he announced a few weeks back he was going to transfer from Purdue. After his transfer, we got some pretty damning words from Matt Painter on his thoughts about transfers, where he didn't name any players specifically, but you could tell he wasn't pleased, he wasn't happy. Shortly after that, Eastern committed to Michigan, which makes things even more odd. He's going to stay in the Big Ten Conference, at least we thought. Yesterday, he put on social media an announcement that he's not going to be able to attend the University of Michigan. He says he was not admitted to the university because of many credits that weren't transferable because of my major. That is the only reason why I was not accepted. That's what he writes on there about Michigan. So basically, Eastern is back in the transfer portal. looking for a home, and he'll have some opportunities even as it gets late here in the middle of June to find out where he's going to play Division I college basketball for next season. So kind of a wild offseason for Purdue and a wild offseason for Nojel Eastern, who once again finds himself looking for exactly where he's going to be at for college basketball next season. Found this interesting. Jeff Goodman of Stadium ranking the IU athletic directors, giving them a grade, A, B, C, D, or F. And let's see, for Fred Glass, overall his final grade is a C, which I think is a little surprising. Here was the breakdown. His hires, Kevin Wilson, obviously was his first hire, big hire, that is, in the AD job at IU. He was there for 6 years. He had a record of 26-47, 26 wins, 47 losses, and two bowls. For his next hire, Tom Allen, he in 3 years is 18 wins, 20 losses, and one bowl. So he has two coaches in football that he's hired with a .396 winning percentage, three bowls in 9 years. They gave him a C for football. For basketball, his only hire, Archie Miller, been at the school for 3 years. Overall record so far, 55 wins and 43 losses, zero NCAA tournament. So one coach in basketball, a .561 winning percentage, and no NCAA tournaments in 3 years. Although, if you're keeping score at home, I think you got to give a little extra nudge to this past season. I think Indiana was in the tournament or was headed on their way to being into the tournament until the coronavirus shut it down. They give Fred a C in basketball as well. And again, his final grade a C overall. In the conference, you want to know who had the best scores. Gene Smith at Ohio State. He's had some amazing hires. Now, these grades go all the way back, not just to the AD's current school, but even, you know, like Gene Smith was at Eastern Michigan, then he was at Iowa State, then he was at Arizona State before coming to Ohio State. If you go back through who he's hired, he's had some great hires in football and basketball as well over the years. He got an A-minus in football. He got an A in basketball. He has a top-of-the-conference A. Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin, he's got an A in football, a B-plus in basketball, an A overall. And then here's one that surprised me a little bit, but Mark Coyle, the AD at Minnesota, he's got an A-minus, which is another A in the conference. He came Boise State to Syracuse and then, of course, Minnesota. And most of his hires, all of his hires in major sports have been football. He's had one, two, three football hires, and I was kind of surprised to see him. And no basketball hires under his watch because he's only been at Minnesota from 2016 until now. But no hires from basketball under his watch. He's an A-minus. Then you drop down to some Bs. Purdue athletic director Mike Bobinski, he has a B-minus. He had a C-plus in football and a B in basketball. Again, just fun off-season fodder to look at. But Fred Glass, as he gets ready to exit his tenure at Indiana coming up here at the end of this month, he leaves with a C grade, at least according to Jeff Goodman and Watch a Stadium. Also, one IU baseball note, Elijah Dunham, we thought maybe he'd come back for another year at Indiana, but instead he's going to sign a free agent deal with the New York Yankees. He was not drafted in the shortened MLB draft last week, but he does get a free agency deal with the Yankees and obviously is expected to start in the minor league circuit with them. He's an Evansville, Indiana native and was solid for IU baseball in his time there. A third team All-Big Ten honoree in 2019. He appeared in 94 games for the Hoosiers in his career. He started 75 of 94 games, hit .312, 25 doubles, 9 home runs, 48 RBIs. A solid, solid player in the IU rotation, and he'll move on. Not drafted. He would have been drafted if clearly. And there may have been others, obviously, from IU and other local schools drafted had the draft been of normal size. Of course, it was very shortened as far as the number of rounds, because of everything that's going on right now in sports and everything being done virtually. But Elijah Dunham, Evansville product, he's going to the Yankees on a free agency deal. That's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Stay with us. Coming up in the next segment, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join us. We'll talk IU basketball, new recruiting offer out yesterday. We'll talk about Deontay Davis and a lot more as workouts begin, voluntary workouts, that is, strength and conditioning workouts on the IU campus today. Alex Bozich is next. Robbie Valentine later in the program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us in this segment, as always, on Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. And Alex, to start with some recruiting stuff, Deontay Davis, now of Warren Central in Indianapolis, the latest to get an offer from the Indiana program. He's a 2022 player, so he'll be a junior when school resumes later this summer, this fall. And he's a good one. He's highly thought of nationally. He obviously has an older brother that's going to the University of Louisville next season, and someone that IU wanted to jump in on fairly early and try to keep the momentum in the state.
Yeah, I had the chance to spend some time on the phone last night with Deontay. It's actually my first time talking to him. I'll have a story probably tomorrow on the site, kind of recapping our conversation. But definitely a kid that's going to get a lot of attention over the next year and a half, depending on when he makes his decision. You mentioned the connection with Louisville. You know, his brother was originally committed in Nebraska when Tim Miles was still a coach and stayed committed for a while after Fred Hoiberg got the job, but ultimately decided to open things up and see what else was out there and ended up at Louisville. I think a lot of people are operating under the assumption that Deontay will favor Louisville when the time comes to make his decision. But in our conversation, you know, he basically said that, you know, he's heard that, but he wants to kind of go through the process on his own and see what's out there and see who offers him and build relationships. And I think that's the right approach, especially with the uncertainty kind of with Louisville's situation with the NCAA. Who knows what's going to happen there? So from an Indiana perspective, it seems like a good move to jump in now with the June 15th date, being able to reach out and talk to him. He's heard from, I think he listed about 10 to 15 schools that he's talked to in the last couple of days. So his phone's been ringing off the hook, doing Zoom calls, virtual visits, things like that. And, you know, he's a top 75 player, I think, right now in the country, one of the better 2022 prospects in the state. And definitely a name to keep an eye on here as we move forward.
He recently moved from Lawrence Central to Warren Central because his father was named the coach at Warren Central. So he and his brother had both been had a great year at Lawrence Central. They were a team that had a terrific year, just couldn't get past their nemesis, Lawrence North. Otherwise, they may have been a team that could put a deep run together had the state tournament went forward. But now it'll be a new high school home for him next season, playing for his dad as the head coach.
Yeah, that'll be, obviously a big get for Warren Central. And they've always had a really good program, a big loss for Lawrence Central. But obviously it makes sense, his dad making the move. So he'll make the move with him. And it'll be he'll be one of the guys that I think over the next, year or so that we'll pay the most attention to in terms of in-state recruiting in the 2022 class. I mean, some names are obviously starting to emerge, but, you hear his name discussed really, most often. His versatility, I think, is one thing that a lot of people talk about. And one of the interesting things that you told me was, I kind of asked him about the lockdown and everything and how it affected him. He said that, you know, he's got a weight room in his house, so he's been able to kind of keep doing that and has a setup in his backyard where he can go out and shoot. So he sounded very thankful that he's got that. But it seems like it's been full steam ahead from him in terms of improving, and you know, he's become a huge priority for a lot of programs in the Midwest.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest. A couple things yesterday from the NCAA Division I Basketball Council that I wanted to talk about. Number one, the recruiting calendar for the fall that had been proposed by the Oversight Committee with some input from the Coaches Association. Two weekends in August, two in September. Again, pending health situations, pending states. A lot of things go into that to see if events would actually happen across the country. But that's basically been tabled. There was no vote taken last night. Wasn't approved yesterday. That was a little surprising. It seemed like a good plan. It seemed like a plan that everyone wants, from the D1 coaches themselves to the event operators to the high school athletes and those players that have missed out on so many exposure opportunities. I was a little surprised that that did not get voted on and subsequent approved yesterday as well.
Yeah, I mean, reading into the release and what they said, it seems like they just want a little bit more time to think about it and talk to some people, which I guess isn't the worst approach in the world. I mean, it would be still, I think, about, 2 months away from it actually happening if they do move forward with it. So I wouldn't say it's dead in the water, but it didn't sound like, from what they said in the statement, that they were ready, like they felt like they had enough information to move forward. So maybe they want to talk to some more people and kind of get a better sense of how everything would work. The interesting thing to me about it, you know, there's going to be two weekends, I guess, where it's basically an AAU format, and two weekends where it would be like school-related events, is the way I read it. To me, it's interesting, like, what would the shoe company involvement be in these weekends? Because Nike's already said that the EYBL is canceled for this year. I don't think Adidas or Under Armour has said anything about their circuits, but I don't know that they would be at this point planning anything. So I'm just interested to see how those weekends would work, who would actually play. I mean, to me, I don't know what the incentive would be for, you know, a top 100 kid who's already got 15 or 20 scholarship offers to go out and play. I mean, it seems like this would be more of an opportunity for guys who maybe aren't seen, a little bit more under the radar, especially with school starting back up and the travel that could be involved potentially. I would be interested just to kind of see what the participation would be like from a player standpoint, if it would be the top players, if it would be, you know, more mid-major, low-major type kids. And obviously with only two coaches being able to go out from each school, they're going to be able to see less guys than normal. But, you know, I do think it would be better than nothing. But I think the holdup is probably based on the fact that they want to see how things progress over the next couple of weeks in terms of the virus and how it's spreading, and also just kind of get more information on how it will work and what kind of events would actually be out there for people to participate in.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, my guest. Also, yesterday the NCAA approved a couple things as far as summer athletics activities for men's and women's basketball. I tell you what, all this stuff runs together for me. You've got the university saying stuff, conferences, NCAA. What exactly did you make of the announcement about activities and what the NCAA is going to allow for men's and women's basketball later this summer?
As of right now, the voluntary stuff can continue through July 19th. When July 20th comes, my understanding that there would be a period up until, I think, about mid-September, where they could have the 8 hours per week that you normally see in the off season. It may be slightly modified. Obviously, safety is going to be at the top of the list, but I think there's also still a chance that, you know, they could make some changes to the existing thing, which obviously started now, to where you can do voluntary stuff like for men's basketball through July 19th. they kind of left it open that they're going to keep monitoring the situation and maybe add some additional things that could be done during this period. But my understanding is it's going to be a modified version of what you typically see in an off-season program, which is 8 hours a week, and there will be an opportunity, I think, for coaches to be involved after that July 20th period. And really, it's necessary. I mean, if there's going to be a season next year, they got to have some type of off-season program, I feel like, especially with new players coming into college, guys coming back on campus. There's the reality of the situation is that there's going to be people that get the coronavirus and get sick. It's not just going to be at Indiana. It's going to be at every school. A lot of schools are being pretty forthright in releasing that data. Other schools, it doesn't seem like they're going to release anything. But, you know, the thing that is going to be interesting to see is how these schools handle it if they do have a couple of cases. Are they going to pull back? Are they going to stop doing things? But the reality, like I said, the reality of this isn't going away anytime soon. And so if there's going to be college sports next season, whether it be football, basketball, or any other sport, people have to be prepared that there's going to be people that get sick and people are going to have to isolate and just kind of use their best judgment to stay healthy. I mean, there's no magic wand that can be, waved and all of a sudden this is gone. It's just not reality. So it's going to take a cooperative effort on the part of a lot of people, school administrators, athletes, coaches, to navigate this. This isn't something that none of us have ever dealt with, obviously. And there's going to be bumps in the road. That's just the reality of the situation. It's unfortunate, but that's kind of what the world is at this point.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. I also want to bring up a piece that was on the Inside the Hall site earlier this week on Romeo Langford, kind of a piece that goes back to his college days and recaps a lot and brings back some fond memories and a good update on him. Maybe preview that for listeners that haven't checked that out yet.
Yeah, Dylan Wallace, who's one of our student writers this past season, actually started working on that in March, and I believe it was the night before everything shut down for good in the NBA. He was at the Pacers game when they hosted Boston, Indianapolis, and he had a chance that night to talk to Romeo, to talk to Gordon Hayward. I think he talked to Jason Tatum. I also believe he talked to Brad Stevens, although there was no quotes from him in the story. And then that kind of got, you know, with everything that went on, it kind of got shelved for several months. And, the last couple of weeks, he did a lot of work in talking to Dion Lee, who you know and I know very well, did a great job with Romeo and the training. He talked to Tim Langford and started to piece together the story. And I thought he did a really good job of kind of tying it all together. There was just a little bit of everything in it and a pretty good, I think it was over 2,600 words. So it's a longer read. You might want to carve out, 5 or 7 minutes if you're going to sit there and read it. But a lot of good information, a lot of good insight. And really, I think the point that he wanted to drive across was, there was bumps in the road for Romeo at IU. But the reality is that I think, it put him in a good position to get to the NBA. And I think when he looks back on the situation that he, despite the criticism that he took and some of the disappointment that happened based on how the season played out, that Romeo still has a lot of love for Indiana and has a real appreciation for his time there.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, always fun to catch up on Thursdays. We'll mark it down for next week.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a good day. Thank you.
Definitely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. You can check out that story on Romeo. A lot of other topics we cover today also as well at InsideTheHall.com. We'll head to a commercial break. Final segment is next. Robbie Valentine joins us, and we'll talk about a basketball camp that Robbie and Wiley Brown are staging in Jeffersonville. Also catch up with the latest at the Yum Center. Lots of cancellations there everywhere because of the coronavirus. We'll talk some other basketball topics and a lot more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment of this Thursday program. We get the chance to chat with Robbie Valentine, Southern Indiana resident, former U of L basketball player, and of course involved very heavily at the Yum Center in downtown Louisville. And Robbie, welcome. Today, before we get to some basketball stuff, I want to start talking about a basketball camp. We talked with Wiley Brown about this last week and wanted to have you on to chat about it as well. You know, not a lot of camps going on right now. A lot of things have been shuttered for the summer because of the health pandemic, but you and Coach Brown working on a camp at Jeffersonville. You guys have some special things you've put in place to try to make it as safe and healthy as possible for the participants. And Robbie, I know a lot of kids in the area want to get out, want to get some basketball instruction, and want to have a lot of fun, and that's what you guys are working to put together.
Hey, Matt, thank you for having me on. Yeah, we're really excited about it. Wiley and I did our very first camp together in 1986 after we won the championship. Of course, he won it in 80. And then we were talking, and we just got together and said, hey, we need to do something for the kids that's been just pretty much trapped in their home since March. And we're going to have a very great it's going to be a skilled camp. There'll be some, you know, some social distancing in terms of, you know, you can't play 5-on-5 and 4-on-4, 3-on-3, but they can, you know, do a lot of things that they haven't been able to do over the last 3 months, shooting, ball handling, passing, and just having fun and being around kids. And so we're excited about it. And it's going to be something very special. I do want to say that we're partnering with the mayor of Jeffersonville and the city police department and the fire department and the mayor. You know, the issues that we've been having with African-American males and police. So what we're doing with Kenny Cavanaugh and Sean Grant, the chiefs in Jeffersonville, is we're going to have some scholarship opportunities for some of the kids. And we're going to have the police department and the fire department actually go into communities, families that had some hardship and or single parent moms at home, and they get the opportunity to come to camp at no cost. So we're glad that that's going to be able to happen because we want to make sure we take care of every bit of our communities.
Absolutely. The camp scheduled July 6th through the 10th at Nahan Fieldhouse in downtown Jeffersonville. And you can get more information, and I understand you can also register online at WileyBrownBasketball.com. Again, WileyBrownBasketball.com. Robbie, you've been doing the camps forever, and one of the things I've always appreciated about your camps is obviously you bring people to the table, including yourself, that are going to teach basketball skills and fundamentals the right way for all ages of kids that participate. But in addition to that, it's like a life skills camp. You bring so many former players, so many community people to the table, whether it's a guest talk, whether it's a homework that you send them to do to learn a little bit more about a certain topic. There's a lot of other things that come out of that week-long camp that you've been doing for years, different places in Louisville, Southern Indiana, than just basketball.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I think the kids have to understand that life is not just basketball. Life, especially being an athlete, there's so many challenges that I believe the fans and the community would want you as a young person to voice your opinions, good or bad, positive or negative, in ways of making our country and our communities much stronger. And I think that's very, very important to a young kid. I want to know how the kids and or campers, I want to know how they felt just being at home and basically just doing homework while they're at home and not be able to get out of the home, see their friends, play sports, things that they do 365 days out of the year, they couldn't do because of a law and because of a virus. And so it'd be interesting to just, you know, burn their energy in so many different ways while they're there. And most definitely let them talk it out a little bit, let them have some fun doing that. And I think that's very, very important. And I just, you know, I'm just happy that the mayor and the parks department and the police department and the fire department and people like yourself has given the opportunity to speak about it. We all come together to do some very positive things for kids. The word kids haven't been mentioned a whole lot, over the last 3 months. And now it's time to, you know, put them on the front lines and let them have some fun, but keep them safe.
Robbie, one other thing I wanted to mention in relation to the camp, and again, it's July 6th through the 10th, and you can register and find out more at WileyBrownBasketball.com. How about Wiley? Just a super guy, of course, a Louisville guy through and through for his success and his time there at the university, much like you. But how about what he's been able to do? He's come across the river. He's recruited Southern Indiana very strong. He's used his connections, obviously, in the city of Louisville to get players. He's brought in outside players as well. He's really built IU Southeast into a year-in and year-out success program. And I really feel like we've seen Wiley come into his own as the head coach now for a number of years, all-time winningest coach. I think a lot of people proud of what he's become and what he's done on and off the court now at IU Southeast.
Well, Wiley's one of the reasons why I came to the University of Louisville. The best word to describe Wiley is kind. 6'10", one of the best football players ever come out of Georgia, one of the best basketball players come out of Georgia, played professional football after basketball at Louisville, played little professional basketball. But he's just a kind, nice, big giant. And, you know, he's just a very, very special person. I can tell you this. I've been doing camps since 1986. It's many years. My first camp was with him, and I will never, ever partner my basketball camps with anyone except for Wiley because of our relationships, and we have the same goals that we want with all the kids. And, you know, like we go back, you know, we sit and talk every day. If somebody contacts us and they cannot afford the camp, we most definitely open that door for them. I mean, that's who we are. That's what we're about. It's not about the camp's not about Robbie Valentine and Wiley Brown. The camp's about the kids. And so he's a very kind, very genuine person. And I'm glad you asked me about that because I don't know if I would have came to University of Louisville without Wiley talking to me about him coming from a small town in Georgia. I'm coming from a small town in Radcliffe, Kentucky. And, you know, everybody has a legacy. And Wiley's legacy is going to be, you know, the way that kids that, you know, IUS is no Louisville, no Kentucky, no Indiana. He really has to work hard to get a kid there. And once a kid gets there, they prosper in so many different ways. And that's what Wiley brings to the table. And I'm glad that we were able to do a camp together again. And it took several years to do it. But, hey, this virus has made a lot of things happen.
Absolutely. WileyBrownBasketball.com for more on the camp and to register. Robbie, I do want to ask you, you know, you're an executive at the Yum Center. Have a very important role there to bringing events to our Southern Indiana, Louisville communities. But things you want to talk about different. Things have been shuttered there as well. Talk about what it's been like at the Yum Center, this big, beautiful facility that is so used, that is such a centerpiece of downtown Louisville, to be vacant like other arenas and facilities across the country. It's just something that none of us ever thought we'd see.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. We also manage Louisville City Soccer Stadium, and we're hoping any day to hear that we might be able to get fans in the stands for the July 11th match. Also, we're building and operating a state-of-the-art learning center and track and field in the west part of Louisville. It should be completed in December. But as far as the Yum Center is concerned, yes, it's been tough. We all have been working from home. There's only been two arenas around the country that has been able to operate, and we're one of the two. And, you know, we run stadiums all around the world, football stadiums, arenas, and then, of course, the Yum Center. But it's been tough. All of the entertainment business has been shut completely down. Concerts, basketball, soccer, whatever entertainment is out there, it's shut down. So, we're working hard to get some things done for 2020, and there's not a soul in this world that don't want 2020 to get the hell out of here. So our focus is the end of 2020 and get going 21. And I'm going to tell you, Matt, I'll say this real quick. When Kobe Bryant's helicopter went down in late January, I think things bottom out from there. I think everything, especially when we found out his daughter was on that plane with other members of her team, I really believe in my heart that everything from that point on was kind of a disaster for 2020. And we just got to get out of 2020 and focus on a new year, a new focus, and just grow from there. And I think everything that's going on in this world, it's going to make us all much stronger and beautiful, kind people. I really believe it. I think God's working it.
Absolutely. Robbie Valentine, my guest. Again, we're promoting a camp he and Wiley Brown will run later in July. You can sign up online, WileyBrownBasketball.com. I almost said Wiley. Robbie, before we let you go, a little more on the camp. I know you've got a number of people that will be in and out to speak and to work with kids. And, of course, this event's going to be held at Nahan Fieldhouse, which in itself is an awesome place for basketball. And you talk about history in Jeffersonville and history in high school basketball in the area. What a cool facility to be at. But a little bit more about who's going to be there and anything else you want to tell us about the camp as we wrap up today.
Sure. I mean, you know, of course, a guy that's been played at Jeffersonville, Joe Estes, great guy. He's been working our my camps for years. The other names that Jack Gibbons have come in from Central Kentucky, he's a UK former player, Tony Branch, a former U of L player, on and on. There's so many people that we're going to have involved in the clinic. One thing we are going to have, we're going to have Kenny Cavanaugh come and speak to the kids too, which is the chief of the Jeffersonville Police Department, and just talk to the kids about the importance of trusting the police officers, working with them, and having fun. When I was a kid, there was not a police officer or a fireman that wasn't a coach in Little League Baseball. And so, you know, we just got to get that community focus back and let Kenny do his job and talk to the kids about the importance of just safety in general. But, yeah, we have a big list of people that will be coming to the camp, like Scooter McRae. If some of the NBA players are not playing in July in Disney World, we're going to have some of those guys come over and speak at the camp as well. Some of the current Cardinal players, some of Wiley's players. So it's going to be a fun Monday through Friday week. Bring your lunch. There'll be concessions, but it'll be a lot of fun. A lot of media is going to be there. We want the kids to talk to the media about, you know, how long, you know, just they've been in the house for a long time. Just talk about it. So it's going to be fun. I hope everybody can make it over.
Absolutely. Robbie Valentine, my guest. Again, July 6th through the 10th in Jeffersonville, and you can get more information and sign up at WileyBrownBasketball.com. Robbie, always fun to chat. We need to do this more often. Hope things pick back up. I know you're planning ahead at the Yum Center now. The soccer stadium is beautiful. Look forward to seeing that get underway also, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll see you out at the camp.
Thank you, Matt. And lunch on me next time. I know Wiley picked it up the time before. I'll get it, and we'll baby you for a couple of months, and then it's your turn.
Hey, sounds good, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Okay, Robbie Valentine with us as we close out this Thursday program. Thank you for being with us here today on the program. We'll return for a Friday edition, 11 o'clock tomorrow. We've got Jared Morris of the Assembly Call with me to talk IU basketball tomorrow, and Josh Rogers, former U of L baseball standout, Southern Indiana guy, New Albany guy, is going to join us as well. Will we have pro baseball? Will we not have pro baseball? That's something we'll talk about, and we'll catch up with Josh, who's coming off of a Tommy John surgery as well. Have a great Thursday. Talk with you tomorrow here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.